Welcome back, everybody. We're Ann Risto and Pam Suddeth from the Student Support and Academic Achievement Unit of Florida's Problem Solving Response to Intervention Project. This session number 4, Focus on the One Desired Results, is a multi-session experience to support Florida educators in not only utilizing but also sustaining a multi-tiered system of student supports with fidelity in every district, school, and classroom. Today's guest is Mr. David Davis. David joins us with a long resume of advocating for diverse learners, not only in the state of Florida, but also beyond. Thanks so much for joining us today, David.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So let's start by breaking down what actually is meant by prerequisite knowledge for our diverse learners.
Okay. When you're looking at things like prerequisite knowledge, you can really look at that from a variety of lenses, a variety of different viewpoints. One is this whole area of prerequisite skills and prerequisite knowledge, prerequisite abilities. So there you're looking at things like it could be students just understanding how to take a test. They have knowledge basically and skills that they need to really impact just general learning, regardless of the discipline that you're in or the area of curriculum, but just these basic learning skills, this understanding of how to learn. So it could be things like reading. We know that students, when they're struggling with reading, when they're struggling with decoding, or if they're struggling with organizing information, or all these things that are a part of reading, that it's going to be very difficult for them to truly engage in the content. So becoming fluent in reading is a very strong prerequisite to a lot of academic outcomes. Planning and problem solving are huge areas of knowledge that students need to know how to do. Critical thinking skills, being able to maintain focus, task persistence, really being able for a student to monitor their own task persistence, to have this knowledge on how to take sort of a meta-analysis of what they're doing, of how they're learning. Are they staying on task? Are they able to set goals and then complete them all the way to, you know, go all the way to the end? Being able to organize and synthesize information, self-regulation, active listening, just all these types of things. These are very strong prerequisite skill areas that students need actual knowledge in. And I like using the word knowledge because I think sometimes we forget that students need to be taught these skills. So they need to be taught how to maintain focus. They need to be taught how to maintain task persistence and how to analyze their own task persistence and how to work on that. They need to be taught how to organize information and how to analyze information and to synthesize it. They need to be taught self-regulation. So all of these come under, because there are things that students can be taught, these are prerequisite knowledge, prerequisite skills. Sometimes I think when we use the word prerequisite skills and we just say skills, we don't realize that we really need to teach these skills, just like we teach any body of knowledge. So these are important pieces. But then there's also content knowledge. There is the pre-knowledge, the background knowledge, the things which particularly when it comes to when you're looking at reading and meshing reading, say, with science or any other area of curriculum, you need for that understanding, when we're looking at outcomes, we really want to see this understanding, this engagement happen with students to where they're really starting to get it. They need a very strong basis of background knowledge in whatever that curriculum area is so that what they're learning has anchors to anchor into. So for things like math, this is a lot more straightforward because you can look at a map of the math skills and what are the background skills that you need, the prerequisite knowledge that you need in order to attack this particular area of math that you're getting into, if you're looking at, say, equations, or even just basic math like addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, what are the prerequisite knowledge, skills you need, and numbers and counting and maths in order to be able to really get that. When it comes to history, there's things that are a little bit different, you can do timelines to start to build into and start to see what the precursors were to get somewhere. So that understanding, you've got that type of a background knowledge. And then for things, a lot of times for literature, the background knowledge could be very different in the sense that if there's a type of genre of writing that you're analyzing, understanding the components of that genre, understanding historical literature, understanding fiction, understanding science fiction. There's all kinds of things where there's the more that you are immersed in that particular genre, the more things you start to understand that help you with the next story, that help you with the next book, that things of that nature. So all of those different types of areas are pieces that have a huge impact, whether it's the pre-knowledge that comes when you're looking at prerequisite skills that are things that still need to be taught, or whether it's pre-knowledge that you're looking at background knowledge that helps you to understand what people are talking about that you can anchor it into, or whether it is a scope and sequence type of pre-knowledge where you're looking at math building on math or science concepts building on science concepts and things like that. And our students, there's huge diversity in our students in which areas they need help in, that they need supports in. So building supports in all these areas can make a big difference.
David, thank you so much. You have literally touched on all of the instructional implications that we were hoping would bubble up through conversation. Not only did you mention the behavior, the skills, the abilities, the content knowledge, the background knowledge, all of the areas that an educator would need to consider when planning for instruction to ensure they're meeting the needs of all the students within the classroom. So thank you so much for bringing all of that to the forefront of our conversation. So can you touch on a little bit about how does this align with our service delivery models such as MTSS and UDL, which is just, you know, our heart and soul within our project?
Sure. So when you're looking at, let's start when you're looking at a multi-tiered system of supports, you have your tier one, your universal, your core instruction, and what is key to really figuring out what's going on with students in core instruction and in tier one, or one of the keys, is that students are able to fully engage in the instruction at the very beginning. So if you've got, for example, a student who is struggling with reading or with decoding, and you're in a science class, and what you're doing is looking at them and saying they're having trouble with science. And most people, you know, they can tell right off the bat if the reason the student's having trouble with science is because they're struggling with reading. Then you've got two things you're looking at there. You need to figure out how to support the reading, but you also need to figure out how to support the science. You can't pull students out of one curriculum area for another, especially once you're looking at middle and high school. You know, students need to have the tools to really be engaged in core. And so before you start this problem solving of going to other tiers, and before you start looking at things like really increasing the time or increase in frequency of assessments or frequency of adjustments to instruction, you want to first figure out what are the supports you can put in place, what are the areas where they've got they're weak in some prerequisite skills, they're missing some prerequisite knowledge. How can you support that so that they can be engaged in the instruction. And it may be that you look at providing additional training in, say, for example, reading, or it could be that you provide some type of tool like text-to-speech or something of that nature. But you're really being careful to make sure that when you're looking in core, you want to get all students as engaged as possible there. Otherwise, what happens, you have students that aren't engaged, and you increase, say, the frequency of assessments, and you increase the adjustments to instruction, and you start to move toward intensifying the instruction and intervention and putting some interventions in place, and the students still may not be engaged, because they still may be having some significant problems with those prerequisite skills that if you could fix at the beginning, it would really help your problem solving between tiers of supports be far more effective, because you're dealing with engagement issues right at the beginning. And I think that's one of the reasons we sometimes see places where you will have, instead of this triangle, of a multi-tiered system of support, you have an upside down triangle. You have way more students that are receiving what the school considers tier two services and tier three services, because the work, the focus needed to first start in making tier one far more effective. And looking at these types of prerequisite skills and prerequisite areas of knowledge is one of the things that can make a huge difference when you're problem solving, rather than just starting off saying, okay, we're having trouble here, we need to go to looking at a tier two service or tier three services. It could be just really getting that tier one down pat. So I think for the prerequisite knowledge and prerequisite skills, that's how that starts to really impact a multi-tier system of supports. And Universal Design for Learning provides an awesome framework to help you to start to do this, and to do it in a way that is resource economical, so that you're not having to figure out something to change for every single student, but you can step back and look at that tier one, look at that universal tier as a school, and start working on ways to make it more engaging and more effective for students. And that is a huge part of starting to bring your multi-tier system of supports into a good, effective alignment of services. Well, I think what hits me when I look at this as far as learning goals, our learning goals, I think, are driven, you know, by our standards. Mm-hmm. And so you're basically starting to look at, From that particular lens, you're looking at how you, the process you're using to really break down and understand the standards. And, you know, you've got that whole system. People use different systems that have different things in place, where they're looking at the standard itself, what it's asking for, really trying to understand it. I don't know how many people use this that much, but the access points are a great way. It's a great way to understand the whole standard, because it pulls out the essential understandings of the standard. So if you look at the access points to the standard as a part of the standard, and then use that to help really understand what the standard is asking for, that gives you a framework then to look at all your prerequisite knowledge needs, your prerequisite skill needs. What are the things that could be creating barriers to engagement for students to hit those learning goals? So to me, really understanding the standards, what the standards ask for, give you, like I said, a framework for really starting to get down to analyzing your prerequisite knowledge needs and your prerequisite skill needs. The things that start to happen when you have problems with this, and this is what really hits me when I think of learning goals, because part of what I think of with learning goals is students struggling with learning goals. Mm-hmm. And when students struggle with learning goals, they start to go down this road of disengagement. And that's why it's so important to really bring all of these pieces together, because students can start to have problems where they their own goals, they're no longer setting goals for themselves. They don't understand the learning goals, or they see a learning goal, they don't see a successful path to achieving the learning goal. which you it, one of the great tools to use to help with this is for teachers or educational professionals to just meet with students on a regular basis, like every 2 weeks or so, just to talk about the learning goals and to talk about what's working, what's not working. That also helps students with learning to problem solve. But the more students struggle, the more they feel a sense of hopelessness, the more they start to socially compare themselves with others in a negative way. They just start this whole process of disengagement. So clear learning goals based on the standards and helping students have a path to successfully get to those goals, to successfully have those outcomes, are all critical pieces. And if that's missing, if the students don't see a path to that learning goal where they can be successful, you know, they're going to disengage. And that just makes a bigger and bigger problem.
Absolutely. I love what you, I'm so delighted that you mentioned access points, because we have so many times in the past just introduced educators to them. And what we share with them is that those are the bare bones. That's the bare bones of all of the standards. And if you can look at that and understand exactly what needs to happen, then it's like a stepping stone. It is the whole scaffolding process of where they need to go. I'm so delighted you mentioned that. And everything that you've shared in regards to the learning goals, which I love the idea, again, is meeting with the students continuously, which will help them set goals and become those expert learners that we're hoping that they to be able to assist them in that for their future. So, David, thank you so much. I think Anne wants to take over now. She's ready.
I'm so ready. So I have so many notes here. You've given our Florida educators a lot to think about. And like, what stands out for you? If there's something that you really want to make sure our educators take away today, what would that be, David?
Well, I think the thing that stands out to me the most when you're looking at this is that education is a major life experience for our students, and it's a major life experience that we are designing. Mm-hmm. So if we can design a system where students are able to see the learning goals, understand it, and have a clear path of achievement that they feel like that they can work through and actually be successful in, then that's a huge thing to do for them, because now we're designing engagement, not just in education, but we're designing engagement with students, with each other. We start to design engagement with students in society. We design positive experiences for students. And that's the deal. We're the designers here. And we can look at this and figure out how to design something that is great for students. If we don't, then what happens with some students now, they will manage it and be good.
We truly are so fortunate to do the work that we do. Thank you, David. Thanks so much for your thoughtful responses as well. Before we let you go, we'd like to invite you to our 90-second lightning round. And Pam is going to set the timer for 90 seconds if you're game to play with us here. And we're going to ask you a series of quick questions or statements for you to give us your know a little bit more about David Davis. You ready?
Okay. Sure, let's go.
Okay, here we go. Pam, you tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right, David, tell us something that is amazing to you.
Well, right now that would have to be my granddaughter is amazing to me. She's a ton of fun, and it's just fascinating to watch little people grow and little people start to understand things and explore things. And so anyway, she's just amazing.
It's incredible. Your favorite childhood book?
I'm not really, I think that there's a book that I read as a child. I think it was called The Marvelous Land of Wew. It's W-E-W, so I don't even know how to say that. And what fascinated me about it was that the whole concept of the book that I got from it, at least, was that everywhere there was a puddle of water or a lake or something, there was another world. If you jumped into the puddle, you could go through it and come out in a whole different world. So from then on, once I read that book, every time I saw puddles and lakes and things, I would always picture another world. You just have to step into it by going through the water. So that has stuck with me my whole life. When I see very pretty still water, I think, okay, there's people underneath there. It's a whole other world.
Okay, I'm definitely going to look that one up. So curious, what are you reading right now?
Everything I do now is online. Mm-hmm. So I'm really not a book person. I have books. I have a little bookcase right beside me right now, and it mostly has things on it like either drawing books. I have a ton of books on paper craft, which I never do anything with paper. Ages ago, I used to do paper sculpture and stuff. So I have lots of books on it, and books on origami, which I don't do anything on, but I just love to collect the books. So I see a new book and I buy it. Some cookbooks, and so that's about it.
David, that's
awesome.
I see a new one and I get it. You're okay. So adorable, David. Yeah. Time is up. I could just talk to you all day.
Yeah, so thank you so much for not only being such a good sport, but for sharing a portion of your day with us in quest to support our Florida educators in not only utilizing but also sustaining a multi-tier system of student supports with fidelity in every district, school, and classroom. Until next time, everyone.